Use the Force, Luke.
Live long and prosper.
I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Shut up and take my money.
By Grabthar's hammer. What a saving.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
X never, ever marks the spot.
Winter is coming.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Stay a while and listen.
My whole Kermit the Frog here.
Bow ties are cool.
So say we all.
This is a Play on Nerds.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 44 of A Play on Nerds. This week, we're covering some very fun stuff. I'm here joined with my co-host, Steve.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jarman. It's so exciting.
Welcome back, everyone. We're happy to have you back. Or if you're listening to us for the first time, brace yourselves.
Brace yourselves for awesome. Now, typically, we have a very specific topic for each episode. This episode, we have an interesting generalized topic. We're going to talk about this list that I found of the top 30 fandoms, basically the top 30 geeky fandoms that there are out there. And we're going to quickly rapid fire go over each one, give our take on them and what we think and our personal experiences with them. But we'll do that a little bit later.
And we're going to offend 30 distinct groups of people. So that's also exciting.
That's true. We have a chance of offending 30 distinct different groups of people.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Before we get to that, how has your week been or weeks?
It's been kind of weird the past couple of weeks. I'm in the last couple of weeks of where I'm living, and my current office space is in my house, and I'm moving out in about 2 weeks to move into a studio. I'll put all my equipment in one place and kind of be moving up in the world a little bit. So I'm excited about that, but it's a lot of work.
Fancy.
And then I'm also starting a new RPG gaming group tomorrow, so that's some fun nerdy stuff.
What game or games? Or
it's basically like D&D, but I think you probably heard of it. It's called Pathfinder. They use a similar system of D&D. They just kind of fix some things they didn't like.
Is that like D&D 4 or 4.5, something like that?
They called it D&D 3.5 or something like that a long time ago, but really just, it's its own company, a different thing, but they're able to use the system from D&D because Dungeons & Dragons has an open source system where you're allowed to use it as long as you give them, you know, a mention in their book or something.
And what's your character?
I'm still struggling to make that right now because these guys have been in a campaign for years and they're at level 18 characters. And you gamers out there know it takes forever to get to a level 18 character.
Yes.
So I'm having to look through their intricate backstories of the campaign they've been on and try to fit it in there somehow. And
so you are joining as a level 18 character?
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, when you make like a level 1 or low level Dungeons and Dragons character, it's pretty easy. There's only a few options. When you have to figure out going straight to a level 18 character, it will blow your head apart how many choices you have to make.
Oh my God, yes. And like a level 1 character is supposed to be like a peon, a peasant, like you're basically nobody. Level 18, you're supposed to be in almost the godhood category. Like you're basically a god amongst men. So it's weird. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's okay. Just go in with humility and be ready to embarrass the shit out of yourself.
That's what it's all about, right? Absolutely. Yeah. So what have you been up to?
Just working a lot. We had a beer bash at work where it's basically a giant all-campus kegger, which I did not get to go to because unlike everyone else who got to enjoy it, we had to work. So that was a good time.
Fancy that.
Yeah, how about that? Well, that's what happens when you throw a kegger on a huge deadline day. So they can bite me. So that was fun. Otherwise, the only big thing is my wife's mother.
Freudian slip.
Paula just got a new car and we inherited her van.
Oh.
So for the first time in my life, I'm a car owner.
That's crazy. So you and the wife are joint owners of it now?
Yeah. It's a Chrysler Town and Country. It's the type that you can remove all of the seats in the back and basically have a pickup truck.
That's kind of neat.
But it's a beast and it's a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah, because you basically didn't have a driver's license till you were like, what, 23 or something?
22 or 23. That sounds about right. I just didn't have a need for it. I rode my bike where I needed to go.
Yep. Got rides from me. Yep.
Yeah. And then in Pennsylvania, I finally got it. And then shortly after moved to New York where I didn't drive anymore. So.
Yep.
I've only needed it a very small portion of my life.
Well, now you just need like 10 kids to fill up that town and country.
That's true. But with taking out all the back seats, I can put all their bodies in there. So that's exciting. God.
Don't call them bodies. That makes it look like they're dead.
Oh, well, no, that was my intention.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Gotcha.
But that's been the most of it, actually.
That's pretty cool. Congrats. I've had
a pretty losery and lazy 2 weeks.
Yeah, you got a car. That's pretty cool.
That's true.
But I actually just forgot to watch the movie Tusk not long ago. Have you heard about that movie?
Oh, man.
Did you see it?
Oh, God, yes.
So for you that don't know out there, it's basically a movie made by Kevin Smith and his co-host, whose name is slipping my mind right now, but a guy who's been his friend forever, so their Smodcast podcast. So Kevin Smith, the director and writer, and they made up this story on the spot during their podcast and started writing this script basically with the fans submitting ideas and stuff like that. And finally, they made it into a movie called Tusk about this guy who's a podcaster, go figure, who goes on a trip to interview this guy, and the guy abducts him and turns him into a walrus.
Yeah. I really wish that Jarman was missing some key part of the plot, but that's pretty much the whole damn thing.
I had liked it. I thought it was stupid and amusing, and since I know the context that it was made from a podcast, like, I think that's pretty cool that it happened.
I thought it had some good moments. The actor that they got to play the crazy guy is one of my favorites.
Oh, he was great.
He was in, he's been in a bunch of Tarantino films. What's the movie?
I think you mentioned him on an early podcast when you first saw this movie. You're like, he's great at monologuing and stuff. Didn't you say something like that?
The movie Red State.
I still haven't seen that.
Red State. He plays a crazy pastor who basically leads a cult, and he does a 10-minute sermon monologue that in any other film would have failed because you can't do that in movies, and he owns it from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, and he has the majority of the dialogue in this movie too.
Yeah.
I brought it up because we saw these two guys who are basically doing a podcast like you and I are doing, except theirs is all about being vulgar and rude and being like shock jocks, and we're not always like that.
Yeah, we're half, 0.5 of that.
Yeah, we're basically 0.5 of that. They're pretty nasty.
But check out Tusk. If you don't like gross, gory stuff, it might not be the film for you because there is a little bit of just oddness.
And just don't go into it looking for like a wonderful movie, but look at being a silly movie with some great cameos in there too.
Yeah. So check it out. It's got the former child actor Haley Joel Osment.
That's right. And he looks like a strange adult.
His best friend. He does. He looks like a big, goofy-headed baby, almost.
With stubble.
We're sorry, Haley Joel Osment.
I'm sure you're a great guy.
Yeah, I'm sure you're a sweet guy. And you've made more money thus far in your life than I will make in my entire life. So
that's true.
Okay.
There you go. So anyways, you got some nerdy news for us this week?
Yeah, let's break on into nerdy news.
It's time for Nerdy News.
All right, so because Jarman harangued me last week for not having a clever name for my news stories.
I was just surprised.
I know, and I was disappointed in myself. So the name for my, I've got two stories that coincide, and they are New Kids on the Block. And both stories pertain to very cool species of animals that were just recently discovered. The first of which is on a small island off the north coast of Madagascar that is as big as Central Park in New York. It's a tiny little island. Mm-hmm. They have found dwarf lemurs, which the picture is just adorable. Just adorable. Living up there. Dwarfism is apparently a common trait in animals when they are forced into a very small area.
Yeah, like the hobbit people they discovered on that small island too, right?
Yep. And as I said, just adorable as the Dickens. But what they found completely amazing is that they think they've been separated from so long, they have no fear of humans.
Oh, wow.
Like the researchers basically said they could have reached out and touched them if they had really been inclined to. There are no large predators on the island. Large birds that hunt other lemurs in Madagascar don't live up there. And there's only a few types of snakes that are poisonous, that are venomous, that'll kill them.
Hmm.
So that's just cool. The little monkey thing that you could literally reach up and pick up out of a tree.
They've never seen the humans. They have no reason to fear it, basically.
And they're not hunted by anything, so they've got no reason to fear anything.
Gotcha.
So that's one. The other is in Brazil, a scientist studying frogs went to pick one up that he thought was a species, and it headbutted him, and he had shooting pains up his arm like he was having a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Turns out this frog has spines on its head attached to venom sacs.
Jesus.
And it is officially, this is crazy for the world, is the first venomous frog that they have discovered.
Oh, because usually it's toads that are venomous, not frogs, right?
Well, it's the fact that frogs are poisonous, which means that they either have poison on their skin or have to be ingested or absorbed some way.
Not
this
venomous.
Is the first frog they've found that actually can inject venom.
It's terrifying.
Into its prey. So every day, nature is proving that it is still scary.
Is it weird that I'm now picturing those venomous frogs riding the backs of those tiny lemurs and just, like, invading a country?
Whee! Onward, my noble steed.
That's a Pixar movie waiting to happen.
Right that there. Is. Make it Pixar, Mr. Lassiter.
Well, mine's animal-related as well, you'll be happy to know.
Not ghost shit. Excellent.
But it's not the animal you're hoping for. I was so excited to see this on my favorite news site. MysteriousUniverse.org. Skunk ape sightings in Florida once again.
That's true. Skunk ape is huge in Florida.
But just as soon as recent as June 5th, not that long ago, another video was taken of a purported skunk ape going through the wilderness. And the same article, which we'll link to in the show notes, it shows all basically two other videos that were taken within the last 2 years. One of them very good, of this actually in one of the swamps. This guy was in a canoe and started taking video of what very clearly looks like a ape-like creature kind of sloshing through the swamp. And what I like about the swamp ape story is I really honestly believe that they are actually orangutans or chimpanzees or something like that. Because
something that escaped from a zoo at some point.
Yeah, and I can't remember where I read it, but a while back there was actually an article that said it was showing how there was an escape from a zoo quite a long time ago, like back in the 70s, near Orlando, actually, and far down as Tampa. I can't remember one of those areas, Tampa, Orlando. And it was this big escape of all of their, basically their entire ape unit. And so what they think is that it was enough apes that they could have populated enough and repopulated and started to kind of adjust to living in that area. And we really are seeing these big kind of great apes. Like one of the pictures that's gotten pretty famous now in Orlando of one of these ape pictures in the woods, skunk ape pictures, looks a lot like an orangutan. It just, right. It probably is. It's just kind of terrifying seeing one in your backyard that's scared of you and starts screaming and then you starts running away. So I think that one is very explainable. I think the skunk ape is, which is still pretty cool, a big giant escape population of apes that are just living in Florida and random parts of Florida.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Way to go, humans.
Knowing what chimps can do, they can tear your face off. So there
that's
you go.
That's true. They will. And they will tear your face off.
But yeah, take a look at the videos, people, once I post them, and let me know what you think. See if that they're an ape creature like Bigfoot, or they're just a friendly chimpanzee who's going to rip your face off.
Good. That's some good nerd news there.
Yes, indeed.
Talk nerdy to me. Talk nerdy to me.
So to get us warmed up, moving into our discussion of fandoms, I've put together a little game. Fandoms like to give themselves clever little nicknames that make themselves feel pretty and distinct. An example would be Trekkies or Trekkers for Star Trek fans.
The standard one.
Or Browncoats for Serenity fans, or Firefly fans, Serenity fans. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to name the cute nickname a fandom has given themselves, and Jarman has to guess and tell me what they're fans of.
And we'll give you time to answer at home. You can yell at your iPods or computers.
Yep. and some of these we'll probably talk about in the list later.
Absolutely.
All right. Are you ready to play?
I think I got this. I think let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Programs.
Programs.
Mm-hmm.
And can I at least ask if these are all going to be within the film, television, book arena?
Pop culture. That's all. I mean, for the most part, yes.
Not like, you know, people who love some kind of science experiment or something.
No. And I tried to stay away from like heavy literature.
Gotcha. Programs. So the fans are called programs.
They call themselves programs.
I don't know. I really don't know that one.
That is Tron.
Oh, I should have got that. That makes sense.
Yep, it does. Most of these make sense in one form or another.
I need to think outside the box.
Rum Runners.
Rum Runners. Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean fans?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. That was a random guess, but it makes sense.
Yep. Mizzies.
Mizzies.
Yep. M-I-Z-Z-I-E-S.
I'm just going to ask if you could spell it. I don't know. Fans of Logan's Run.
No, fans of Les Mis.
Oh, God. That makes sense. I didn't know that was a thing, though. That's cool.
Tributes.
Hunger Games.
That is absolutely correct. Babblers.
Bab with a B?
Yep.
Babblers.
Like a babbling brook. Babblers.
Oh, Barbra Streisand fans?
No, but a good guess. Babylon 5.
Oh, interesting. I'm a Babylon 5 fan.
I know. I've threw a couple of what I hope would be easy ones in here for you.
I'm sorry. I'm disappointing.
Dunderheads.
Dunderheads.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking like Dungeon, maybe like Dungeons and Dragons?
No, that'd be The Office. Dunder Mifflin. Dunderheads.
That makes sense, too.
All right, here's I'll throw you an easy one. Gleeks.
Fans of Glee.
That is correct. Leapers.
Quantum Leap fans.
There you go.
I'm a leaper.
Sidekicks.
Sidekicks. Maybe fans of the Heroes franchise?
That is absolutely correct.
Huh, nice.
Beehives.
Beehives.
And I'll give you a clue by spelling it for you. Beehives. Beehives.
Like fans of Beyonce?
That is correct.
I can't believe I got that.
Katy Cats.
Katy Perry fans.
That is correct. And this one, I saved the hardest one for last. Jellicles.
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 Fans of Jell-O Pudding Pops.
Jell-O Pudding. No, I'm sorry. That's not correct.
Diehard Cosby fans who are now dying out.
Fans of Cats, the musical.
Oh, like a Jellicoe cat, I guess?
Yeah, Jellicles. All right, well, you did pretty well. You got 7 out of 11.
Hey, not bad.
Not bad at all.
I thought I did worse than that. That was fun, though. I didn't know a lot of those.
You started slow, but then you started putting it together in your head.
So what are Babylon 5 fans again? Babblers?
Babblers.
Huh. I remember that.
Yeah. Thanks. So good. That'll get us in the headspace to go into our topic, which I'll let you lead off since you have the master list.
Yes, I do. And this is for you people out there from a magazine that I wish I had a subscription to. Subscription. I can say words. It's called a Geek Out magazine. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Who's a geek? And it basically is pandering directly to me.
And for those of you who don't know, a magazine
is
where they take paper and they print articles like you read on the internet and they send it to you to your house.
All collected.
And you read it.
And then you throw it in the trash.
Yes. And also you can roll it up and use to smash spiders and bugs.
I do use it for that sometimes.
That's true. Yes.
Or to collect space in your closet.
Yes. Also for that.
Like all my old gaming
magazines.
Now that
we covered what a magazine is for our younger fans.
All right. So we're kind of going to try to steamroll through these so we don't take 2 hours here, but it's going to be fun. So number 30 on the list of 30 of the most epic fandoms of all time.
Okay.
Is The Princess Bride.
That's a good. Love is like a storybook story.
That's what you jumped to for that movie?
Yeah, that's a great song. At my cousin's wedding just a couple weeks ago, that was what they played as they walked out, was the theme from The Princess Bride.
At a wedding I just went to last week or 2 weeks ago, the guy officiating the wedding started it off with, Mowage.
Andre the Giant, some great performances throughout. Whimsy, fun. I think that belongs in the top 30.
The guy the short guy with the bald head. What the hell's his name? The guy's like, I knew you'd pick that one.
The Sicilian. never mind. I was wrong. Wallace Shawn.
Yeah, so Wallace Shawn. He was also in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And this is a shout out to the Trekcast podcast, which is a fun podcast to listen to. They met him at a Star Trek convention. Apparently, he's a huge dick, and I've heard that elsewhere, too. But then Mandy Patinkin is the other guy. You know, you killed my father. My brother or father? I always forget.
Father.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Prepare to die.
That actor apparently is a huge dick, too. And only recently, he like went on an interview and said he acknowledges the fact that he's been a huge dick his whole career, and he wants to change that now. So
yeah. And Christopher Guest does a great role as the six-fingered man.
Oh, yes.
Just some great performances. I actually agree with that one. There'll be some on this list I do not agree with, but I agree with that one.
Yeah, absolutely. This next one I don't know much about, but I know people do like it, is number 29, Dexter. Does that really belong in the most 30 of all time? I mean,
the people that love it are diehard about it, but I feel like there's not that many of them because I watched it, and a couple of the seasons are absolutely brilliant, but some of them are absolutely terrible.
So you've seen all of it?
I have seen through, I believe, season 4, where John Lithgow.
Oh, I like John Lithgow.
He won, and I think, an Emmy for it. He's friggin' phenomenal.
He usually is.
Watching the entire show up to that point is worth it just to get to John Lithgow.
I've seen him on Broadway. Broadway.
Oh, what in?
It was a straight play. It wasn't musical. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, never fuck it then.
Yeah. But he was very good.
The first season is great. Second and third are really rough. And fourth really brings it around. And I never bothered watching any of the other ones after that.
I watched like 2 episodes and it was just too violent and dark for me. And I don't mind violent if it's fun. I know it sounds horrible, but it was just kind of like dark and depressing. So I didn't really want to watch it. But maybe I get the wrong impression. So that's 29.
The hell with it.
So 28, this one's funny because I don't know much about either, but it's a new phenomenon, which is My Little Pony.
Oh, bronies.
I know. I need to watch that documentary about bronies.
Y'all need to grow up. Y'all need to get over it. You're not princesses. You're not ponies. You don't have unicorn horns, and nobody wants to see that. I think we can move on.
I am perfectly fine. I differ from you in that opinion. They can be bronies all they want. I just don't get it. But I don't watch the documentary on Netflix because it has Q, John DeLancey, in it from Star Trek. And he hosts it. Because he does one of the voices in the new series, Friendship is Magic or whatever.
Yeah. I disagree. I think you all need to start being adults.
So it shouldn't be in the list, you say?
No.
I'll let a brony answer. If any bronies are out there listening to this, please comment and tell us what's so great about it.
I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I think if bronies are allowed on the list, then the KKK should also be on the list. That's had a long-standing fandom, and it's also terrible. It's also one of the worst things in the world.
I wouldn't call KKK a fandom.
They like being racist douches. That's what they love.
They kind of have conventions.
They wear matching outfits. They have conventions.
They cosplay.
Things together. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a fandom, and it's terrible.
They cosplay as ghosts.
Human beings. And I wish they would all just go away forever.
All right, bronies, come out of the woodwork and defend yourselves. Facebook, Twitter, let's do it.
If you're willing to identify yourself.
Yeah. I'll be open to it. He won't. There you go.
Nah, girl.
All right, number 27, Futurama.
Yeah, I get it. It was...
People are diehard about Futurama. I've always thought it was like, it's a cute show.
Some episodes that are truly great. Like, truly good, touching... well-written, comedic, and I feel like in between those episodes are 17 that are just terrible.
17? That's a like very specific number.
17 episodes before you get to another good one.
Like the dog dies in one episode, and it's really sad.
Dog dies. The episode where he's got worms is just absolutely brilliant. The Slurm episode that lampoons Willy Wonka is absolutely brilliant. But I feel like there are just too many episodes that are missed to make it worth it to me.
So it's not better than The Simpsons?
I don't know if anyone would ever make that claim.
Oh, I think some people would, but come out of the woodwork. Let us know.
They're wrong, too. I told you, we're going to offend 30 distinct groups of people today.
But it belongs in the list. You would say that.
Sure.
Sure. I'd say sure.
Not knowing the rest of the list, I don't know if I'm going to be offended that something I think should be on it isn't yet.
Yeah, just so you know, folks, Steve and I don't know what's in this list at all. So we're just going to this blind.
We're going at it.
We're just going in dry. All right, number 26, this one I totally agree with, Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never watched any of the old show. Have you?
No, I want to. It's on my list, but I've not watched it.
But the new one is just great. Because it's not a sci-fi show, it's a political drama.
Yeah, and just great music. I listened to the soundtrack today, actually, as I was trying to make my character. I was listening to that music for inspiration.
Nice.
It's in the right mindset. But
strong characters. You talk about having strong female characters on television.
True.
Battlestar Galactica. Come on.
And extremely hot people. I was going to say hot women, but I look in the picture here and there's just hot people in general. of all sexes. Oh, yeah, sexes.
Just the future is just filled with hotties.
Absolutely.
Mind you, it did lose me a little bit, I believe, in the third or fourth season where it started getting really Starbuck is an angel, and some of that stuff got a little out of my realm. But overall, great show.
It was confusing a bit, but it gave us Edward James Olmos, and I think one of his best performances.
Oh, yeah.
Introduced us to Michael Hogan and Tricia Helfer and all those people.
I'm really dumb. I whisper everything.
And our friends at the Rusted Robot, who are so lucky they got Admiral Dama himself to say the name of their podcast. I'm so jealous.
That's true.
Rusted Robot Podcast. Think about it.
I fully agree with this one.
Yeah, me too.
It's a fandom that has spanned multiple generations. It wins.
This next one has snuck onto the list recently, and I think it's been there for a while. It's probably going to stay there. Number 25, Minecraft.
Yeah. Have you ever done any of that?
No, and all I have experience with it is my buddy AJ from college. I think you might have met. He is big into Minecraft, and I watched him play for a little while, and I don't get it. It's really cheap graphics, and you just kind of build things, and that's it. I don't know.
I mean, I understand the appeal. It's an open sandbox. You can literally build anything you can think of and anything you can figure out how to build. For the younger generation, you know, I would rather kids learning the basics of you know, architecture than playing with Nerf guns. also, there's something called Action Blocks, I believe. One of my coworkers who has a kid told me about this. Where kids can make these blocks that they can program, and they have to learn basic JavaScript to do it, to make them do specific actions, whether that's pulling a trigger or opening a door automatically, that sort of thing. And so it's also teaching them that level as well. So I think it's a great, almost educational tool.
That's cool. Yeah, and I think I've known a few parents of daughters, basically, who are into this game, which is nice because it's pretty much gender neutral. It's not targeted towards a particular gender. So it's just like anybody can get into it. It says 54 million copies sold. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Fun Minecraft story. The 6 or 7 year old boy that my wife used to watch once asked her, "Your husband's name is Steve, right?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Is he named after Steve from Minecraft?"
Is he named after?
Yes.
He's not good at math, this kid, but that's okay.
No, he's not. Okay, I'll allow Minecraft on that list.
It snuck in there. It's going to stay for a while, I'd say. All right, so this one is something I also know much about, but I know everyone thinks it's so important, and it's number 24, Studio Ghibli, or Ghibli.
Nope.
You don't know what that's about?
I don't know how to spell it.
It's Ghibli, and I know that it's anime, but it's very artistic anime that's been around for a while, and the guy's name right here is... founded in 1985 by directors Seo Takahata and Hayao Miyazaki. So Miyazaki.
Okay,
you might
Miyazaki,
recognize.
I've heard of. Now that I'm looking at this, yes, I know these. I know some of the characters: Princess Mononoke,
my neighbor
friend
Totoro. Yeah,
yeah.
So I've seen Mononoke. That's a good one. It's fun.
Yeah, I have no feelings about this either way.
I know that they're pretty. They're well produced. They look like they're for kids, but apparently they usually have dark themes and. Based off myths from Japanese culture, so good for them. I'm not much of an anime guy, so I'll just believe them at their word. This belongs in the list.
Yeah, sure.
Moving right along, number 23, another new addition to this list in the most recent year, Adventure Time.
I've tried Adventure Time. I've really tried to give it a shot, and I can't get into it.
I mean, we're not kids, though. I mean, it's supposed to be for kids.
Right, but here's the thing. This list is not for kids.
True. And a lot of adults we know like Adventure Time.
Exactly. It has really taken off. It's a constant. I saw so many Adventure Time costumes when I went to New York Comic Con.
Oh, me too. I've seen tons of conventions.
It's got the guy who plays Bender, whose name I can't remember right now. John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio, yeah. Joe DiMaggio.
In one of the lead characters, and that's great.
Yeah, I don't know if this one has proved itself yet to belong on this list. I mean, maybe it will, but I mean, and yes, everyone seems to love it right now, but do we know it's an epic fandom? Not quite.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Tell us when we're wrong. Write us in. Send us an MP3. Yell at us. I don't care.
Yeah. Throw a rock at me. I don't know.
Go for it. So, number 22, this one upsets me. Transformers. Now, if you're talking about the original Transformers, I know that's changed a lot of people's lives. They love the toys, love the original show, even the movie, the animated movie. And then the new ones have just kind of made an embarrassment of it in a lot of ways. But people still watch them. They pay money in droves.
So I think overall Transformers began to end, yes, epic fandom over the last, you know, 30, 40 years.
Almost. True. I guess it can't be denied.
The most recent films, I will defend most of them.
I'll defend the first one. I really enjoyed the first one.
The first one and the second one, I really enjoyed. First one and then Revenge of the Fallen was the second. I will defend those. Third was terrible, and the fourth was inexcusable.
Mark Wahlberg, say hello to your mother for me.
What? No.
Yeah, I think I said this on a previous. The movie takes place over 2 days, but somehow there are 5 sunset scenes in the film. I don't know how they made it happen.
They just wanted that magic moment.
Yes.
Yeah, check out our Transformers episode, people. Look in the archives. Yeah. It's there.
But I think overall Transformers, yes, but recent incarnations, no.
Yeah, I agree with that. So overall as a whole, yeah, I guess it belongs to the list as a cultural thing that's become part of Americana and such. Yeah. Number 21, this one I will agree with, and I think it should stand the test of time. It's Avatar, The Last Airbender. I know you haven't seen them, have you, Steven?
No, I watched maybe halfway through the original, the first season that was on Nickelodeon. I think that's about it.
It's one of those stories that, now I'm watching Legend of Korra. I'm almost done with Legend of Korra as well, the sequel series. And I consider that all part of this one fandom. And yet, once you watch the whole thing as a whole, it's like this epic story that they planned the beginning and the end. And instead of not knowing when it was going to be canceled, they had a story planned out from the get-go. And it's just beautiful animation and great voice acting and everything put together. I think it was a great achievement. So I will agree with this on the list.
Yeah. Having nothing bad to say about it, yeah.
The movie was horrible, though.
Yeah, we can all thank M. Night Shyamalan for that one.
Shyamalama ding dong. All right, number 20. This one is a contention starter. It's The Big Bang Theory.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Now
I'm not. Nah.
I have to give credit again to the Trekcast podcast. They actually bring this up a lot. They made the term that Big Bang Theory is basically nerd blackface.
Yeah.
Now I'm not advocating blackface, of course, or anything. Blackface is awful, and that's why they're making that point that it's basically, we're not going to get real nerds to portray these people or have authentic nerd writing. We're just going to have people pretending to be nerds and almost making a mockery out of it. On television.
Right, and saying things that people would expect nerds to say and portray nerds the way that they would be expected to be portrayed.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even have a problem with that. Like, I don't even mind sucking myself into the show because they occasionally mention sci-fi and fantasy stuff. I like that. But the only thing I have a problem with that show, because I still watch it to this day because I have OCD, I can't stop watching a show I've already started watching. And it's because there's so many chauvinistic moments in that show. Like, the character of, I forgot, the little guy who always wears the turtlenecks. I don't remember his name. Howard, played by Simon Helberg. Basically, he is the most chauvinistic character in the whole show, and they don't really ever show retribution for it. He, like, constantly says the wife's the old ball and chain and, like, is making her cook and clean and do his dishes and everything, and his friend, the other character, I can't remember. I'm forgetting all their name. Raj.
I'm not going to be of any help to you here because I hate this shit.
But Raj is basically kind of following suit. Like, he's so afraid of women, and you think at first in the series it's because he respects them so much and he's scared of them. But then once he's okay with talking to women, he's just as nasty and rude to them too. And it's like the only redeemable character is basically the lead character. So,
yeah,
I don't know. And Sheldon, I mean, he gets Emmy after Emmy after Emmy, that actor, and he's good and all, but he's mostly just speaking a lot of lines really fast. Doesn't mean he's a great actor. I think he's a little bit overrated. So
yeah, nah, I'm dumb. That show can't be done fast enough, or it might already be canceled. That's how little I pay attention to it.
The only thing I give it is if it promotes nerd culture in positive ways outside of the show. So that could be a good positive thing for it. But the show itself is not necessarily a good thing for nerd culture.
No.
That's our take.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck that show.
We're third of the way there. Number 19, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Sherlock has become huge on the internet, and they're saying they're also incorporating, you know, Sherlock Holmes in general, but Sherlock, the BBC show, has basically become a sensation, and there's not even that much of it. There's only a few seasons of like 3 episodes each.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I don't know.
You should watch it, though. It's really good. It basically is the breakout role for Benedict Cumberbatch, and with him and Martin Freeman in there, it's friggin' awesome.
Okay.
I'd recommend it. So that,
I like Cumberbatch.
Yeah. And you'll like him in that. It's like his title role here. So I agree with that one. Next one, number 18. I know people are huge fans of this guy, Tim Burton.
Anna, my wife, is a Gigantis fan.
There should be a name for those fans.
Well, I don't know.
I was about to say darkies, but that's offensive. Isn't that a racial slur of some sort?
I mean, it is now, with the tone you just said it with.
Well, I was just thinking about the movies are all dark, and so we should call darkies, but I think it's a bad thing. Well,
I do appreciate Burton. I think he's a very specific point of view in Hollywood. Mm. I think that point of view is so specific that it almost becomes a wash.
Yeah, like, I think, and a lot of his movies have been flops now, because he's trying to pull back the same stuff he's been doing for years, and people are kind of tired of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I feel like everything he does is beautifully stylized, but it gets to a point where everything kind of looks the same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Plus, just get rid of freaking Johnny Depp. I mean...
Yeah, I understand he's your friend, and I understand that you love watching him murder your ex-wife, Helena Bonham Carter.
Use someone else.
Yeah, just anyone else. We get it.
And plus, Johnny Depp is a great actor, I think, and he could do a lot of different things, and he's just doing the same Tim Burton crap over and over again in the stupid pirate movies.
And when
movies.
He doesn't, it's so terrible that you make him, like, transcendence?
Oh, gosh.
It just makes you want to die inside.
But he was actually in Tusk, we were just talking about. He was one of the better roles in there, so that was great.
He was.
All right, so Tim Burton, I see why it belongs in the list, but he's losing. Yeah. He'll fall off that list if he's not careful.
That's true.
All right, number 17, The Walking Dead.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yes. This show somehow keeps zombies still interesting.
Yeah, from the show to the graphic novel, it has a little bit of something for everyone. It has good sentimental moments. It's got danger. It's got intrigue. There's always a little bit of mystery. It's more about the people and what they do to themselves than it is the zombies and the threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Walking Dead.
It's kind of like, what were we talking about a minute ago? Battlestar Galactica is a sci-fi show, but you said it's more about the politics and the people. Same thing with this. Yeah. It's a zombie show, but it's more about the politics between their groups and the people.
Yeah, and the relationships. And
yeah.
And I love anything that explores human nature once humanity has taken a dive. I love that genre, just in general.
And in theory, zombies should be boring by now, but this show kept it interesting.
Yeah, true.
I like it. Well, we agree on that one. All right, number 16. I have to agree with this one. Dungeons and Dragons.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this thing has started at all, and now there's tons of different games like it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it does take a certain type of individual and a certain level of letting go.
Yes.
To really enjoy, but once you hit that point, it's so enjoyable.
And I have to be honest, my mom, when I first told her about Dungeons & Dragons, she's like, isn't that that witch thing?
Good, mom.
But I've explained to her several times now. Now she just likes it's me getting out of the house and playing with my friends and stuff and doing something social. Because I stay in the house.
You going to someone else's basement for once.
Instead of my own basement. Exactly.
I'm just kidding. There are no basements in Florida.
No. It's more of a symbolic basement of life.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. It's a way for people to step outside of who they are and really enjoy themselves and still be social.
Yeah, so if you haven't tried it, try to find a group, give it a try. It's a lot of fun. It's worth it.
Yes.
And it's better than playing video games. I'll tell you that. All right, number 15. This one I'm meh about, which is The Chronicles of Narnia.
Don't you want to do, Chris?
Second attack, motherfucker!
It's the chronic what calls of Narnia.
Yes, the chronic what calls of Narnia.
We love that chronic what calls of Narnia.
Pass that chronic what calls of Narnia.
I mean, the movies are okay. The books are classics. You can't really.
I mean, they're classics, but that. This is supposed to be a list of epic fandoms. Is there really a huge fandom for the Chronicles of Narnia?
Yeah, because there's a whole generation of Christian kids that read it growing up because it was the only fantasy book their parents would let them have.
I love the story about C.S. Lewis, the author of Chronicles of Narnia, and J.R.R. Tolkien were friends.
Who were contemporaries, yep.
And they actually met in the same pub on occasion and would talk about their writings and how his was C.S. Lewis was so Christian-based and Tolkien was just history-based. He don't want to write a history.
Right.
It's interesting. But I don't know. I don't think there's enough fans out there currently for this.
Yeah. Who knows? There were enough fans for them to make three films and still make money.
True. With the lion. Number 14, I saw the picture and thought it was just Lost, but it's J.J. Abrams in general.
Okay. I guess. J.J. Abrams have had some not good stuff.
Got Felicity. It's got Lost. The Star Trek 1 and 2. The new Star Trek 1 and 2.
Mind you, he's now a huge production conglomerate, so he can't be responsible for everything.
Yeah. I mean, Alias, he was pretty much mainly in charge of back in the day.
Yeah, but then you have things that were good but didn't really hit the mark.
He's producing that Person of Interest show, which is really popular right now, too.
Yep. A Super 8 was not great.
I enjoyed Super 8.
Okay.
Cloverfield, which was also
fun. Is it on
fun.
This list? Is Super 8 on this list?
Well, it's not, part of J.J. Abrams.
Super fandom. It's terrible.
But you did Cloverfield, which I enjoyed, but it was making me sick because it was so shaky cam that I was...
Right, and that was a movie I enjoyed, but I don't think really hit the mark overall.
I mean, I think they could have put Lost on here. It would have been fine.
Yeah, true.
Because Lost is good enough to have its own following.
I mean, Lost, yeah. I mean, you and I, if Lost was there, I think you and I would both be touting about how much we agreed right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll just change this to J.J. Abrams to Lost. Number 14.
Yeah, hell with J.J. Lost. 14, Lost.
We'll see how well he does with the Star Wars sequels.
Check out Lost, everybody. It's an investment. It takes a lot of time. And if you like shows with nice, clean, tidy endings and resolves, do not watch Lost.
Or watch it and just watch the ending last episode and just forget that it happened.
Yeah, true. It was all a dog's dream.
The dog's dream. All right, this one definitely makes sense because it was just an epic show, which is Breaking Bad, number 13.
Oh, yeah, Anna's obsessed with that.
You haven't seen it yet?
I watched the first season.
Okay. It's just like, for some reason, because I don't normally venture outside of sci-fi and fantasy, but everyone said, watch the show. So I watched it. It's like the characters, you just love them. And you want the bad guys to get it. You love Walter White, even though he's horrible, too. And it was really enjoyable.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing about The Wire. Everyone tells me to watch The Wire, and I'm like, okay, but it's like a cop show, so what do I want to watch that for? But
yeah,
it seems like the best show on earth, so.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't watched that one either.
So it belongs in the list? I would say yes.
Okay, Breaking Bad.
And so would your wife, so you have to agree with
it. Yep, she would. Yep, I totally agree.
And number 12, you mentioned this earlier, well, indirectly, but Joss Whedon.
Yeah, Joss.
He just absolutely deserves being in this list. The Whedon heads. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Firefly, the, you know, Avengers movie. He's got Dollhouse, which is an underrated show I liked a lot, too. What do you think?
Yeah, my brother loved Dollhouse. Loved Dollhouse.
Really?
Yes. Mind you, he might have just liked Dushku, but...
Oh, she is gorgeous.
Oh,
also,
my God.
Also a Mormon, surprisingly. Didn't know that.
That makes me sad. Avengers, he's been entrusted with, you know, the Marvel series, essentially, or at least a huge chunk of it. Yeah, absolutely. And he did a bunch of, mind you, let us not forget the dark part of Joss Whedon, that he wrote Alien Resurrection.
Oh, God. I can't even remember that movie.
nobody should remember that movie. He also wrote 3 episodes of the original show Parenthood that has since been revamped. And remade, that was really terrible and got canceled after 1 season.
Interesting. I guess everybody has some duds.
Yep.
But I saw Much Ado About Nothing recently. That was really good too. But he, I think I saw an interview with him too, and he sounds like he's really just kind of depressed by his newfound clout, because he had TV clout before, but now because he's done Avengers, like, he's trapped within his own confines of money. Like, he can't get the jobs he wants, and control, like, studios trying to control him and everything, so he sounded really depressed.
I have so much money and power now. It's really making things difficult. Ooh, Joss. My name is Joss.
But I love Dr. Horrible on the sing-along blog as well. He, yeah. he, wrote, He wrote and produced it with his brother, Jed Wheaton, and I think his sister, too, or Jed Wheaton's wife, and they, because it was during a writer's strike. So they
during the writer's strike.
And it's a beautiful piece of work. I love the songs and everything. So, Joss Whedon, absolutely.
Joss Whedon, absolutely. Yeah, I'll
just
give you credit.
Stop whining about your fame.
Please.
Okay, so we got number 11, The Legend of Zelda.
Hell yeah.
There's people who love Zelda, and they have tattoos and shit of Zelda, yeah. So...
I mean, it's a classic battle of good versus evil. You know, the fact that you start out as a kid when you don't have power over anything, and the kid in the story has major influence over what goes on. It's just a great empowering story for children. Magical items. Say whatever about any other game, Ocarina of Time belongs on every top five video games of all time list ever.
The N64 one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
To this day, it holds up, and if it's not on a top five list for video games of all time, I just don't trust that list anymore.
I just remember being able to get on top of that horse and, like, I can ride a horse in a game and then get off the horse in real time.
And then shoot my bow from the back of that horse.
So cool.
Play a song to summon that horse. Legend of Zelda, for no other reason of Ocarina of Time, let alone the other games that have come, the huge fan base, absolutely belongs on this list.
And apparently there's like a Netflix something coming of this, like a live action Zelda thing. That's why I thought...
That's been rumored forever. Who knows?
But I've always said that I think that's one of the Nintendo properties that could actually make sense as a live action movie or TV show, unlike Mario or something. Like, Mario should be Pixar, and Zelda could actually be a live action movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
So could Metroid.
That's true, yeah.
Metroid could be a hell of a live action.
That'd be great, because nice female lead, too, because we need more of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're in the top 10 now.
Oh.
Here comes the big ones.
Okay.
So number 10, I will not be able to say anything about this, but you'll be able to say a hell of a lot. Pokemon.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all. Pokemon is great. The games alone are, I would never really got into the show that much. Yeah. The games are just great, addicting games. You get to play them the way you want. The whole idea that you can construct a team of Pokemon that either are fascinating to you or that you have designed for a certain... The possibilities are just endless. You can play Pokemon 100 times through and have it be different every single time because of the Pokemon that you have and the way you choose to play.
Interesting. Yeah, I have no idea because I never played.
Highly recommend. And there's Nintendo has announced that they're getting into the mobile gaming experience. And if a Pokemon launches for my iPhone, I will have that so fast.
Yeah, like I have friends who play every new handheld game that comes out of that. And they also play the card game is really popular, apparently.
Right.
Have you ever played the card game before?
I mean, no. I owned Pokemon cards at some point in middle school, but I don't remember... I remember, like, collecting them, but I don't remember ever actually, like, playing.
You didn't play them at lunch with people? That's what people were playing card games at lunch. But no, I think that makes sense to transfer that style of putting down your Pokemon to fight the other person. That transfers really well to a card game. That just seems to make sense to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really popular. Yeah,
Pokemon, absolutely.
Number 10, damn. Yeah, that's a big business. All right, this one I disagree with. I think it's great, but it does not belong in the top 10. The Hunger Games. Number 9.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It is a huge fandom. People get really into it. It comes at a time where the government is not the most favorite thing in everyone's world. So the fact that it's a book about someone fighting the government is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the post-apocalyptic vibe, which is real hot right now. I don't know if, just like Adventure Time, I don't know if this is going to stand the test of time.
Yeah, it's the thing, like, it hasn't had a chance to prove itself yet as an epic fandom, you know?
But, like, the fact that made it on the list over, like, Tim Burton and Transformers doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, or Battlestar Galactica, for that matter.
Right, yeah.
I guess we're biased, but still, I think, like, it's too new. It hasn't had time to settle in yet and say, oh, people are still loving it, still watching it.
Now, mind you, in its defense, Jennifer Lawrence is so hot.
She's hot in many ways.
Oh, my God.
But she's just... she's the most awesome person in interviews ever. So...
Yeah, she never stops being herself.
She's hilarious.
And so hot.
And on that note, number 8, Harry Potter, number 8.
Hell yeah.
That makes sense.
That I'll get on board with.
It has to be in the top 10 somewhere, because it's become huge. It's gigantic.
Oh, yeah. Have you've read all the books and stuff?
I have.
Yeah, I've read all the books, seen all the movies, read all the extra lore. There's a recent theory that came out that would just blew my mind apart.
Which would be?
It is that Dumbledore is actually Death.
He is Death incarnate?
He is Death himself. He is the Death that is referenced in the story of the three brothers and the Deathly Hallows.
Interesting.
He has possession of all three.
Deathly Hallows?
Yep. Because he's got the Master Wand, he has the stone, and he has the cloak, which is he'd be gifted to Harry.
Mm-hmm.
The story is represent the three brothers are represented by Voldemort, Harry, and Snape. Snape, who loses the woman he loves and would do anything to bring her back. Voldemort, the one who wanted all the power, and then Harry, who inherited the cloak. And is greeted by Death as a friend, which Dumbledore then greets him at King's Landing Heaven.
Hmm.
And sends him back. And all these things lead up to Dumbledore is actually Death himself. And it actually makes a lot of sense.
So, like, they're all dead?
No. Like, Dumbledore is Death.
But what does that mean for him? Does that mean he controls life and death?
Who knows?
Interesting.
But the pieces all fit, which is not something that happens with many fan theories.
But also, I just love J.K. Rowling in general. But she's like, you've seen her in interviews and her tweets are hilarious, and she just like, she's filthy, filthy rich now, and just...
Yeah.
And
I love that she recently got taken off of being the richest woman in Britain because she gave so much of her money to charity. And there, we've got more movies coming and more stories coming, and I'm really excited about that, that the universe will continue.
Yeah, because I was disappointed with spoilers here.
Spoilers! Spoilers!
But I was disappointed with the ending of Harry Potter, and like, just kind of, now he's a family man. It's like, there needs to be adult Harry Potter adventures, like, badass.
Well, what I would love is prequel adventures to the original Rise of Voldemort.
Yeah, or
you see so many hints of it, and you see so many little things, but to actually watch, there are three movies about it, would be amazing.
True. And like the story of Gandalf and his, you know, man he was in love with, the other wizard.
Oh, yeah. Not Gandalf.
Not Gandalf. I hope that's in this list somewhere.
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. But what was the wizard he was in love with, the evil wizard?
Oh,
She didn't say he was in love with him until after the books were out, but... Apparently
yeah, it's true. He's a great gay character that no one knew about.
Because it wasn't important that he was gay, which is perfectly makes sense.
Gellert Grindelwald.
Was it?
Grindelwald.
Grindelwald, that's right. I'd like to see a movie about that story, too. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, like Brokeback Mountain with magic.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Harry Potter absolutely belongs on this list.
I don't know how to quit you.
All right, Harry Potter, and funny enough, the next one, number 7, Lord of the Rings, with the Gandalf.
I think that overall the fandom is great, a lot of great lore, the books, everything that's come with them. I think that the last three films did not hit the mark.
I agree. I didn't like The Hobbit. I haven't even seen the last Hobbit movie because I just hadn't cared enough to see it, which is sad.
Parts of The Hobbit were great. There was too much other stuff.
And way too much CGI. Like, take
and
it down a notch.
Way too much Legolas.
Yeah, absolutely. CGI Legolas, too. Like, I think, like, the Orlando Bloom was barely in that movie. It was just a bunch of CGI Legolas jumping around on logs and barrels.
Agreed. but overall, absolutely, it absolutely belongs. What number is this?
Number 7.
I'm disappointed it's not in the top 5.
I agree. And I told a story before, but Steven's dad is the one who introduced me to Lord of the Rings when I was, like, in early middle school. And we're at a bookstore in the mall, and I said, I want to read something. He's like, yeah, read this, shithead. And he hands me that book, so I was like, yeah, take that.
And I think he bought it for you.
I think he probably did. I wouldn't remember that as a kid because I didn't buy anything, so, but he probably did. And then since then, I read it all through middle school. I read, like, The Unfinished Tales and The Silmarillion, and I remember thinking, because I was bullied in middle school so bad all the time. I was like, I just want to live in Middle Earth with the hobbits. Like, I remember having that thought. Like,
Hobbiton sounds awesome.
It does. They eat all day and they're happy and they party. So yes, that I love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, absolutely. Belongs on this list, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Okay. What the hell are their top five, then? We will see soon. Number six, which I don't think should be above Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, is Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is great, but
yeah,
maybe right below Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings.
I mean, nah.
No?
Maybe Lord of the Rings, it is, as far as book-wise, it is better than Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. I haven't read the books, so I don't know.
The books are, I'm halfway through the fifth one. I've been reading them for the past, God, 2 years or something like that. And they are phenomenal books. Just phenomenal. The way that George R. R. Martin weaves a story, the show doesn't even begin to touch on the level of expertise he has in making a story.
So you're not just saying that it's better because you're connecting with it more as an adult than you would with Harry Potter right now.
No, but here's the thing. Even with Harry Potter, and I think most fans would agree with this, the writing and the storytelling matured
with the readers, yeah.
With the readers.
Absolutely.
Each book got a little bit more mature. The vocabulary got more sophisticated. The way the story was formed got more sophisticated.
That was part of her genius doing that.
George R. R. Martin had that high level of precision in writing and weaving a story that is in the last book of Harry Potter the entire way through.
That does help.
Yeah. There are moments where, you know, the other brilliant thing about George R. R. Martin is that, you know, he writes in a way that he wants you to be genuinely scared for the characters.
Because they're going to die.
Anyone can go at any time. And so because of that, you genuinely don't know what's going to happen around any corner.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's
kind of new.
Which
is not something you can say for many series.
That's why the show itself, people who hadn't read the book were so shocked by that, because that's unusual for TV, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But I agree. Maybe not above Lord of the Rings, but certainly above almost anything else on the list that we've read so far.
I could give you that. Yeah. I love Game of Thrones, this TV show. I mean, I adore it, but...
The TV show is great, but as I said, it doesn't even begin to compare to what he's done with the books.
Which would probably be impossible.
The TV show is amazing, and therefore the books are that much more amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You converted me. I want to read it now.
I highly recommend. It's a big investment of time and mental resources.
Of course.
But
as all fantasy books
totally,
are.
Totally worth it.
All right, on to number five. We're in the top five now. Number five is DC Comics. That's pretty broad.
Yeah, it is. Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern.
Flash.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that has to be up there because it's a giant thing.
Right, and it's been around for forever. And the Batman movies alone have had like two different major franchises, three major animated shows, animated films, like... There's no arguing against that.
The toys, the games, everything. All right. I'm just moving
we'll
forward. Number four, of course, then Marvel Comics.
I will agree that in recent time, Marvel Comics have really come out on top as far as getting on board with the new era.
True. If you talk to somebody in this like the 40s and 50s, they would have been like, Marvel, what's that upstart? DC's where it's at. But nowadays, yeah. It's... flips the tables.
Yeah, I think Marvel, DC might be able to catch up, depending on how these next movies go, but Marvel already has such a head start.
Yeah. So
they're going to be tough to catch.
It's so broad, there's not much to say about that. You guys know about the comics. We're good.
We've done episodes on both, so if you really want our opinion, you can listen to those.
It's true. All right, number three, and I may agree with this one, Doctor Who. I mean, it needs to be in the top 10, period. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it spanned multiple generations. They reinvent the show constantly.
It's been around for 60 years, basically.
I've tried.
I'm disappointed with it as of late. If you guys watched the recent episodes, the new Doctor, I like him. I like the actor. I like the actress playing Claire, but I just... can't get into the new Doctor. He's just in the new... It's just the stories aren't very interesting. There was always a mythology behind it. That's why I like about Lost, the weird mythology, the through line, the story. And that's just kind of lost in this new season. I just don't care enough, you know? So I hope they fix that. They should have made it a woman. The new Doctor should have been a woman. That really would have spiced things up.
Yeah. And here's the thing. The one Doctor that I really enjoyed, I'm looking at him now because I can remember his name, is one that no one else likes.
Christopher Eccleston?
Yeah.
I didn't mind him.
I loved Christopher Eccleston. Mind you, everyone gives David Tennant all the credit. Mm. But I loved him. And then when he went after like one season or 10 episodes, I was like, ah, fuck it.
I think it was his choice. He did want to be shoehorned as the Doctor.
I know, but I just thought he was great.
Which is weird because he wouldn't be shoehorned. He's been in a lot of stuff before that and some stuff afterwards. But I mean, he would have been fine to stay like one more season. But
yeah,
I didn't mind him. I did think David Tennant was the best for me just because I thought he was just the most charismatic and made it the most interesting. But Matt Smith wasn't bad. And our other listeners, like Paul out there, have watched all the old Doctors and stuff, too. They can tell us which of those old Doctors are the best, because I haven't seen
them. Right. But yeah. Yeah, I agree it belongs on this list, but it's not something I've ever gotten into, really.
Cool. All right, now we're down to number two, which will be no surprise to anyone, Star Wars. Which
damn right.
I think that means I know it will be number one, which I'll be happy about. But anyway, Star Wars.
Yeah, shut up. It's not on the list yet. We all know what's coming. Shut up.
I am frankly surprised that Star Wars is going to be beaten by it. But Star Wars, new ones are coming out soon. It's been gigantic. I mean, there's no arguing this one.
Yeah. The toys, the lunch boxes we had when we were kids, there's no way around it.
It's like almost 40 years now. 40th
like
anniversary.
Hundreds of books of fan fiction. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 40
There's
years.
There's no way around it.
Star Wars. There you go, folks.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
And the next one has to be...
Has to be...
Star Trek. It has to be.
Star Trek.
There it is.
Now, frankly, I'm going to be objective about this. I love Star Trek. I like it more than I like Star Wars. But...
Yeah, that sounds objective. Go on.
But I don't think it should be number one.
I mean,
I don't see that as the cultural zeitgeist. I don't see that being that everyone would agree with that. I don't think that's the... Yeah. I think Star Wars, frankly, should be it out as far as how much people love it and how many more people love Star Wars than they love Star Trek.
So here's why I think it is number one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a list of nerdy fandoms, right?
Yeah.
I believe that Star Trek invented the nerdy fandom.
But,
the conventions, the dressing up... The fanaticism.
It kind of had gotten there just before Star Wars came out.
Right. So I truly believe that is why it is number one on the list, because it was the pioneer for every other nerdy fandom.
To really bring it into that fandom, you know, universe of conventions.
You know,
stuff.
Yeah, nerd conventions didn't exist before Star Trek stuff.
That's true. And actually, George R.R. Martin bought the first ticket to the first nerd convention ever. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they have it framed, and you can see the picture of it online because he sent in like a letter to get to order it, and it's like the first convention of that type ever held in the United States, and it was held in like New Jersey or something, and it has a little sign, his signature at the bottom, George R. R. Martin, like 1968 or something like that. It's hilarious. He's a true nerd.
But yeah, so I think that is why it is in the number one position.
I mean, that's fair. I'm happy with it. I was surprised because if you talk to like 30 random people who speak English that you can communicate with, you'll say they'll probably be more than that. Know more about Star Wars, like Star Wars more than like Star Trek. It's not as accessible as Star Wars.
Right.
Is.
But name another franchise that has successfully, besides maybe Doctor Who, that has successfully reinvented itself and reinvigorated its fan base more times than Star Trek.
Well, that's the problem. Now people are arguing that it's not going to work. Like, this is the end of it. After this third movie, it's just be like, it's done.
I think if they can't get a series out of it, then yes, it'll be dead.
Which I think they can. I think they can do that, but I think
yes,
you're right.
Yes, they absolutely can. You know, and if they do it smart, they'll do it the way Marvel's doing it and do, like, companion shows, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that sort of thing.
Build a universe, man.
Right, build a unit. Exactly.
That's what everyone's doing.
But I think if they don't after this movie, it's going to die.
I have hope. I think they will.
Yeah.
Well, man, we got through it. The 30 fandoms.
The dirty 30.
So, folks, if you out there didn't hear what you think should be on that list, let us know what you think it is. If you think something really didn't deserve to be on there, like you just really hate My Little Ponies, just let us know.
If you are mad that I compared bronies to the KKK, just let us know.
Or if I called Tim Burton fans darkies, which I'm really sorry.
Can't believe that.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds like it's a negative slur for someone.
It is. It is now. If it wasn't before, it is now.
So that's it. So I think that means we're on to our new another section of trailer reviews.
Trailer reviews.
Here to Play On Nerds, we have developed an interesting rating system to bring to you our ideas on the trailers we're about to review. At the low, low end of the scale, we have Burn It, where we think you should find every copy you can get your hands on and throw it into a barrel fire.
Kill it with fire. And our next step is Drunk Watch, which means that, yeah, I'd watch this movie. It'd be entertaining if I was under the influence of some kind of substance of some kind. But if I was sober, probably not going to check this thing out.
Nope, not going to see it. Next, we've got We'll See, which is maybe we just don't know enough about this movie to tell what the hell it's going to be.
Could be good, could be bad, not sure.
Eh.
And our next category would be Get the Couch Ready, which means I'm definitely going to check this movie out at home. Wouldn't necessarily pay the big bucks to see it in theaters, but I'm definitely going to watch it at home, so get that couch ready.
After that, we have Take a Look, where we are recommending for you, our viewers and listeners, to check out this movie and check out the trailer and tell us what you think about it. We wanted to see what you guys think.
It looks pretty good, but we're not quite sure yet.
Yeah, take a look. Yeah. Let us know.
And for our final and best category, we have Shut Up and Take My Money.
Shut up and take my money.
This looks so awesome, we're going
to
see it.
That's where we cannot wait to give Hollywood bigwigs all of the money that we have earned at work to go see a film for $47. We're so excited, we just have to go see it. We don't have a choice.
And that is our A Play on Nerds official copyrighted trademark system for rating our movie trailers.
So I just want to start by saying that I feel like normally we're looking for nerdy sci-fi fantasy kind of stuff, and it's normally a pretty shallow pool that we're pulling out of for trailers. And I feel like this week we had like 7 or 8 films under consideration to review trailers for.
Yeah, we'll have like 2 more for next week or next show.
Yeah, I was just blown away at how much selection we had all of a sudden. So I'll go ahead and talk about the one that interests me the most because I love Vin Diesel. And that is The Last Witch Hunter.
Father?
You have tasted more of life than I can ever imagine. But your story has no end.
Do you know what it's like to live forever?
Your immortality has made you the greatest soldier of the Axe and Cross in a war between our world and the next.
I've waited my entire life for the opportunity to help you.
Well, now's your chance. You want to quit?
No, I want to raise.
You're a dreamwalker. Get out. I need you to take me to the dream world. It's the only way to fight what's coming.
If you die in there, you die out here.
And I need you to wake up. You are in a trap!
Yeah, you're not qualified for what happens next. The most powerful witches that ever walked the earth are here to destroy us.
And so it begins.
There's some very bad things out there.
Who says that a witch can't hunt witches?
You know what I'm afraid of? Nothing.
Which kind of looks like almost an Underworld treatment, like Underworld the movie treatment of someone who is a witch hunter for the church. It looks like spanning times tables and different eras, and someone who never dies and hunts witches until there are no more. And Elijah Wood is in it somehow.
Yeah, because Vin Diesel's immortal somehow.
Yeah. What I specifically like about this is I think we've discussed this on previous episodes that Vin Diesel is a huge D&D fan.
Oh, yeah.
And has been playing for years. And in an interview I saw with him on a late night show, one of his longest running characters that he's ever had was a witch hunter.
Hmm.
And so I just think that that is so appropriate for this movie.
And he has that character's name tattooed. He says somewhere on his body, but he doesn't say where.
Yes.
Which is pretty badass.
But it looks visually cool. It looks like it'll at least be fun. As far as quality, I don't know. It could be a huge miss.
That's kind of like what I was saying, my thoughts on it. I like also as the chick from Game of Thrones, the "You know nothing, Jon Snow."
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
She's gorgeous, but yeah.
Oh my god.
I love that red hair. My god, I'm very easily killed by a woman with red hair. But
she's in the book that she's referred to as kissed by fire.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to use it as a pickup line next redhead I meet.
And they'll say, you know nothing, Jarman.
You know nothing, Jarman.
Jarman Snow.
Jarman Snow. Hey, I have a father.
That's true.
Anyways, but now I said the same thing. It looks like it'll be a lot of fun, and it's actors I all enjoy, but I recognize already by the trailer that it's not like some, you know, big blockbuster or, you know, wonderful, wonderful script, but it looks like a lot of fun. And also, Michael Caine will be in any movie you want him to be in.
You talk like this. Oh, Master, wait.
It's the end of time. It looks like the witches are coming.
The witches.
What do we do when we fall down, Vin?
We get back up.
Mr. Caine, that is not your line for this film. That's your last movie.
Shut up and get me a brandy.
I've been in 10 films since then. 10 films. Oh, I've told Michael Caine's story. Okay.
Ooh.
My half-brother, Joe Bon, or Jose Bon, everyone calls. He used to be a waiter back in the day, about 20 years ago, in Miami. In like downtown Miami, in the kind of nice posh area. And suddenly in his restaurant, he's worked in for like a year, Michael Caine walks in with his family. And so this was like 20 years ago. So Michael Caine was probably in his, you know, 55 years old, something around there. And he ordered some tea. And he brings him back the tea that he asked. He says, it comes back and says, oh, sorry, we don't have that particular kind of tea. And Michael Caine is like, this is ridiculous. And he got up and just took his whole family and left because they didn't have the kind of tea that he wanted.
Wow.
Maybe he's mellowed out since then. Maybe he was having a bad day. I haven't heard a lot of bad things about Michael Caine. So
for this movie, I'm going to go ahead and give it a drunk watch. It is not something I will go see in theaters. It is something I will rent from Redbox or wait to show up on Netflix.
Yep, I put Get the Couch Ready because I really want to see it. It looks like a lot of fun, so I'm definitely going to sit down and watch this one at home, not buy a movie ticket for it.
Accurate.
All right, so our next movie is called Air. That's it, just Air.
Air.
And it's starring Norman Reedus and Jamun Hansu. I can never pronounce
Jimin it. Haishu.
Jimin Hansu. You've seen in millions of movies. He's a two-time Academy Award nominee. And I commented that Jimin Hansu looks even younger in this movie than he did 10 years ago.
Yeah, every episode. My wife and I just rewatched Constantine, and then I saw this preview and went, wow, he is exactly the same age.
He does not age. I don't understand.
Him and Keanu Reeves both signed some sort of pact with the devil during Constantine, and they both look the exact same age.
Pretty much. Yeah, he just tries to grow a beard out to look older, but he looked the same. And Michael Hogan from Battlestar Galactica is the president in this movie, which is pretty cool.
Norman Reedus from Walking Dead.
Yep, as a star.
Scientists, engineers, doctors being whisked away in the night. Is the government hiding these people in underground shelters?
Our priority is the safety of all the American people.
You having a nightmare, buddy?
You think it's somebody that just left 6 months would be in a better mood.
How's the weather out there?
Outside, our toxicity is still in the red.
Just like last cycle and the cycle before that?
All the other facilities have checked in.
The reason why we're here is to keep these people alive. They're the last remnant of human civilization.
Change of plans.
Clock's ticking.
That's all the reserve air we got.
There's another facility right here. The spare parts are in there.
Now you need to pick one. Right now.
We're techs, not murderers. We can't just open one of the tanks and put me inside.
Why not?
We're the only ones here.
I'm not doing this.
Now you're a danger to me. You're a danger to the sleepers. You're a danger to this whole facility.
You should see the look on your face.
Just let me in. We can talk about it.
You got that
And it looks like basically something happens that radiates the world, so they put a big population into like hypersleep, basically.
Or not. Doctors and scientists and important people.
And it looks like people have to wake up every so many years to like monitor the pods to make sure everyone's breathing okay. Then they go back to sleep and something goes wrong when him and Norman Reedus and Jimin Hansu wake up and they can't go back into their pods. They have to get more air from somewhere else. We need more air. And it just looks like this. This trailer was crappy, I thought. Like, it wasn't well constructed.
I mean, it gave a clear idea of what the movie was about, and that made perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
But I just don't see how this is going to be like a 2-hour film.
Yeah, they didn't build it up or make us see, like, what are we going to watch the movie for? Yeah, I agree. It was just...
Yeah.
So I gave it take a look, just like it looks interesting, but I need to see more.
Yeah, I'll give it a take a look too, because I'm not... even if it came on Netflix, I might not watch it.
And we'll see if Norman Reedus can carry a movie by himself, or as the lead, rather.
That's true. I'm so used to him being a sidekick that we'll see if he can pull it off.
Or like Boondock Saints, so where it's like a dual thing.
Jim Mantanzu, he also plays a sidekick in like everything.
That's true. So we'll see.
No, I'm going to take back my take a look. I'm going to give it a we'll see, because I for a second forgot we'll see existed.
There you go.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
So moving on to our quick little thanks for Twitter. We don't have too much this week go around, but Mike or at Jarek, thanks as always. And we had a couple other favorites and retweets. Jack Darwimple or Jack Terror, Eric Angra, and which is at Angra Film. And on Facebook, thanks to all of our followers and likes and shares, but also to Alex Massey. He's a friend of Patrick's. She retweets and favorites a lot of our stuff. So thanks so much for that. So
thanks, Alex.
That's about it. And that's it for this episode of Play on Nerds. Hope you guys liked it.
Yeah, join us again next week next 2 weeks for more nerdy fun. And thanks again, Internet.
Stay nerdy, my friends.